Hey everybody, welcome to our morning devotions. Today's chapter is John chapter 18. Let me read this for us. John chapter 18. When Jesus had spoken these words, he went out with his disciples across the brook Kidron, where there was a garden, which he and his disciples entered. Now Judas, who betrayed him, also knew the place, for Jesus often met there with his disciples. So Judas, having procured a band of soldiers and some officers from the chief priests and the Pharisees, went there with lanterns and torches and weapons. And Jesus, knowing all that would happen to him, came forward and said to them, "Whom do you seek?" They answered him, "Jesus of Nazareth." Jesus said to them, "I am he." Judas, who betrayed him, was standing with them. When Jesus said to them, "I am he," they drew back and fell to the ground. So he asked them again, "Whom do you seek?" And they said, "Jesus of Nazareth." Jesus answered, "I told you that I am he. So if you seek me, let these men go." This was to fulfill the word that he had spoken, "Of those whom you gave me, I have lost not one." Then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it and struck the high priest's servant, cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. So Jesus said to Peter, "Put your sword into its sheath. Shall I not drink the cup that the Father has given me?" So the band of soldiers and their captain and the officers of the Jews arrested Jesus and bound him. First they led him to Annas, for he was the father-in-law of Caiaphas, who was high priest that year. It was Caiaphas who had advised the Jews that it would be expedient that one man should die for the people. Simon Peter followed Jesus, and so did another disciple. Since that disciple was known to the high priest, he entered with Jesus into the courtyard of the high priest. But Peter stood outside at the door. So the other disciple, who was known to the high priest, went out and spoke to the servant girl who kept watch at the door and brought Peter in. The servant girl at the door said to Peter, "You also are not one of this man's disciples, are you?" He said, "I am not." Now the servants and officers had made a charcoal fire because it was cold, and they were standing and warming themselves. Peter also was with them, standing and warming himself. The high priest then questioned Jesus about his disciples and his teaching. Jesus answered him, "I have spoken openly to the world. I have always taught in synagogues and in the temple, where all Jews come together. I have said nothing in secret. Why do you ask me? Ask those who have heard me what I said to them. They know what I said." When he had said these things, one of the officers standing by struck Jesus with his hand, saying, "Is that how you answer the high priest?" Jesus answered him, "If what I said was wrong, what I said is wrong, bear witness about the wrong. But if what I said is right, why do you strike me?" Annas then sent him bound to Caiaphas the high priest. Now Simon Peter was standing and warming himself. So they said to him, "You also are not one of his disciples, are you?" He denied it and said, "I am not." One of the servants of the high priest, a relative of the man whose ear Peter had cut off, asked, "Did I not see you in the garden with him?" Peter again denied it, and at once a rooster crowed. Then they led Jesus from the house of Caiaphas to the governor's headquarters. It was early morning. They themselves did not enter the governor's headquarters so that they would not be defiled, but could eat the Passover. So Pilate went outside to them and said, "What accusation do you bring against this man?" They answered him, "If this man were not doing evil, we would not have delivered him over to you." Pilate said to them, "Take him yourselves and judge him by your own law." The Jews said to him, "It is not lawful for us to put anyone to death." This was to fulfill the word that Jesus had spoken, to show by what kind of death he was going to die. So Pilate entered the headquarters again and called Jesus and said to him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Do you say this of your own accord, or did others say it to you about me?" Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew? Your own nation and the chief priests have delivered you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would have been fighting, that I might not be delivered over to the Jews. But my kingdom is not from the world." Then Pilate said to him, "So you are a king?" Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. For this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I have come into the world, to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice." Pilate said to him, "What is truth?" After he said this, he went back outside to the Jews and told them, "I find no guilt in him. But you have a custom that I should release one man for you at the Passover. So do you want me to release to you the king of the Jews?" They cried out again, "Not this man, but Barabbas." Now Barabbas was a robber. Amen. We've reached the point in John's account where Jesus is arrested. He and his disciples go to a garden together, and while they are there, Judas and a band of soldiers come to arrest Jesus. What always fascinates me about this part of the narrative is how little resistance Jesus shows. The soldiers show up, and it says in verse 4 that Jesus knew all that would happen to him. Even still, if I were Jesus, and maybe you would feel this way as well, if a band of soldiers, a band of people come with their weapons and their torches, clearly with ill intent, I would be, at the very least, anxious, if not outright, you know, scared for my life. But instead, Jesus reacts calmly. And actually, what's interesting is that on the other end, it's the soldiers, the people, the mob that has come that seemed frazzled. And seemingly out of nowhere, it says Simon Peter draws a sword and cuts off the right ear of the high priest's servant. And even after this type of incident, there is no record of chaos breaking out or Jesus and any of his disciples trying to run away. But instead, Jesus rebukes Peter and says, "Put your sword into its sheath. Shall I not drink the cup that the Father has given me?" And this really sets the tone for the rest of this chapter, because from there, Jesus is taken before several different people. First, he's taken to Annas, the father-in-law of Caiaphas, the high priest. Then he's taken to the high priest, and then finally to Pilate. In each of these stops and interactions, Jesus responds calmly and without much incident. I think the crux of this particular chapter is at the very end, when Jesus is before Pilate. The Jews have taken Jesus to Pilate with the clear desire to see him receive capital punishment. But Pilate seems confused as to why they're bringing Jesus to him at all. He says, "Take him yourselves and judge him by your own law," probably just hoping that the Jews will figure things out on their own. However, the Jews respond by saying, "It is not lawful for us to put anyone to death," showing that they clearly wanted Jesus killed. I don't know if you've ever thought about this, but this actually used to confuse me a lot, because in the Old Testament, there are actually several laws that, if broken, lead to death. And then even in the New Testament, we see cases where they pick up stones to stone Jesus, which is not something where you're just trying to hurt him. If you're stoning somebody, you are intending to kill them. So it confused me as to why the Jews claim that they weren't allowed to put anyone to death. In preparation for this Devo, I looked, did a little bit of reading, some research. You know, what I found was that although Jewish law did allow for capital punishment, Roman law said that the Jews couldn't just determine that on their own. And since Israel was under Roman occupation, they were under the law of Rome. The Jews, therefore, couldn't just go about and have Jesus executed. And therefore, they were right in saying that it was against the law, the Roman law, not the law that they had been given by God, but the Roman law. By the Roman law, they could not put just anyone to death. The reason I bring all of this up is because even if Jesus hadn't known exactly what was going to happen to him before, now he definitely would. He knew that he would be put to death by the Romans, which meant torture of different kinds and ultimately crucifixion, which, if you didn't know, is still to this day considered one of the cruelest, most painful forms of capital punishment. At this point, Jesus knew that, and he knew it before this moment as well, but at this point, it was without a doubt this was what was coming, and yet he stayed true to his purpose and calling. In verse 37, he says, "For this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I have come into this world, to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice." Jesus understood that he had been sent to be a witness to the truth, which is the words and the works of God. He knew that this wasn't only through his teaching and healing ministry, but through his death and resurrection. And because of that, though he knew exactly what type of death he was going to die, he willingly laid down his life for us all. Let's take some time today to reflect on this. And among other things, let's give thanks for what Jesus did for us. Though at this point in the narrative, he hasn't yet been crucified. That's to come this later on. Jesus is on the path to be crucified. And we see in our chapter that even though he knew what was coming, he stayed true to his purpose. And because he stayed true, he made the truth known to us today. And we have the life that we have because of him. And so again, oftentimes this is a kind of a passage that we read around Passion Week, approaching Easter, but of course it applies to us each and every day, not just once a year. And so today, let's take some time, whether right now and all throughout this day, to give thanks to remember what Jesus endured for us. And if you feel the Spirit nudging you in this way, to maybe recommit your heart to following him, putting your faith in Jesus, the truth that we have received because of his works, yes, and also his death on the cross. So right now, let's take some time to respond. Let me pray for us to wrap us up. Lord Jesus, even in the moments leading up to your death, you know, when you were arrested, taken before these different people, mocked, and that death sentence was laid upon you, you stayed the course. You stayed true to your purpose. And we thank you for that. Lord, we know in our minds, but none of us can really, truly understand what it is that you endured, but yet you did it willingly so that we could have life with you. Thank you, Jesus, for this reality and for this truth. And there's so much more we could say about this and what this means for us. But Lord, we just start by just saying thank you. Help us to respond in our day-to-day by putting our trust in you, staying true to the purpose you have given to us, to follow you and to make you known, Lord. So God, we thank you. Thank you for this time in your word today. I pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.